Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, April 15th. Coming up today, we'll take a close look at Medway Council's finances as an investigation reveals they're sitting on almost £20 million of developer contributions. And Kent has another lottery winner. Could it be you? The search is on for the winner of the National Lottery who lives in Sevenoaks but is yet to come forward. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Police have been called to a family fun day at a Kent farm after the event was targeted by vegan activists. Nicola has been following this story for the podcast. She's got some more details for us. First of all, Nicola, can you tell me when and where this happened?
Yeah, so it happened at the Swan Young Farmers Club in Ashford on Sunday as they were holding their family fun day. The event in Willsborough was advertised as a family-friendly day out during the Easter holidays with lamb cuddles, games and local food and drink. The organisers were forced to call police, though, after the activists set up a stall and started handing out leaflets to parents and their children, which some people say were quite graphic.
And do we know any more about what was on the leaflets?
Well, they were meant to be a sort of parody of the event, and the flyers were titled Kent Young Slaughterers Presents Fluffy Tales Slaughterhouse Tour, and mocked the event's messaging with lines such as join us for a fun-packed tour of your local abattoir and see how those cute lambs are transformed into delicious meat. It also had a QR code on it that directed people to a YouTube video of people abusing animals in a slaughterhouse.
And what was some of the reaction from the visitors?
Well, some people weren't too bothered by the activists, but others say the messaging on the leaflets was quite distressing, particularly for children. An image of the flyer was also posted on social media, which sparked mixed reactions, but a lot of anger and outrage. A lot of people said this was not the place for these messages to be pushed around, and it undermines the work young rural people do for the community. Now, a spokesperson for the event has apologised for the disruption and thanked everyone that came out to the event itself. Police confirmed they were called to the farm at around 1:30 p.m. and were there to prevent a breach of the peace, and no arrests were made.
Thanks, Nicola.
Kent Online News.
Video has emerged at the moment. A man was arrested after violence broke out in Maidstone Town Centre. Police were called to a disturbance involving a group of people in Week Street last Saturday. A 34-year-old from Rochester was detained along with a 16-year-old boy. Both have since been released on bail. You can see the footage at Kent Online. The trial of a young woman accused of murdering her cousin's boyfriend near Maidstone has heard a 999 call from the night of the attack. Paige Poulton is accused of stabbing Jack Cadwallader in an act of anger at a flat in Southfields Way in Harrietsham last July. The 20-year-old, who lives in Haringey in London, denies murder. Her trial is expected to last 4 weeks. Now, a new scheme could be trialled in East Kent as national figures show a 40% rise in rural homelessness over the last 5 years. It's feared people who can't afford their rent are struggling to access support services. Tom Newmark is CEO of Canterbury-based charity Porchlight.
More and more people are experiencing homelessness in villages and in the countryside, and that's affecting Kent just like it's affecting everyone else. What I would say is there are reasons for it going up in the countryside, but the main thing is there's reasons for it's going up everywhere. So all parts of England are seeing more and more homelessness. So if you go into towns and cities, you'll see more for the same reason that you'll be seeing in the countryside, which is rents are increasingly unaffordable. So people are finding harder to pay for their housing. That might be their wages aren't going up. It might be that the rents are going up. It might be that their benefits aren't going up. But what you've got as an additional challenge in the countryside, in rural settings, is that there often aren't lots of services for people in the countryside. And so what people are asked to do is, if you're in that situation, you're asked to go to the town. You're asked to go to the city. That's where the town hall is. That's where the emergency accommodation is. But lots of people just don't want to do that. They don't feel safe in the city. They don't know the town. They don't know people there. And so they stay in their place that they feel comfortable, and then they end up experiencing homelessness because they aren't using that emergency support. So it's getting worse everywhere, and there's particular challenges in the countryside. Porchlight's a charity. We work across Kent, and one of the things we do is we do outreach. So we go out and find people who are sleeping rough. And it might be people in tents, it might be people in caravans, and they might be sleeping out in fields, in farmland, in wooded areas, sometimes even in church graveyards. And we're seeing more and more people in that situation, experiencing one of the worst forms of homelessness you can imagine, just sleeping rough on the street. You can imagine how scary that is, or in a field, or in a park, or something like that.
So tell me a bit about this Housing First scheme and what that's aiming to achieve.
Yeah, we've been working with a housing association called English Rural on this scheme. And it's a slightly counterintuitive program. It's a slightly different way of doing things than what people will have maybe heard of before. So a lot of what people have heard of before is something like a hostel or emergency accommodation or something like that. And the way that project would work is someone, they're sleeping rough, they're experiencing homelessness, and you say, okay, let's get you into somewhere temporary. And then you'd be in that temporary place for maybe a couple of years even, just until you are ready to move into your own place. Housing First completely flips this on its head. So it's quite a lot to get your head around, but the way it works is someone moves straight away into their own place from being homeless. So they get moving straight into their own housing. So the housing comes first. They get their own place, but, and this is the only reason it can ever work, what they also get is someone from a charity like Porchlight or something like that who goes and sees them really, really regularly. We're talking at first like every single day to help them stay in their own place. So they've got their own place, they've got that foundation to build on. They've also got support, making sure they can manage their bills, go to their appointments, and everything like that. So that's how Housing First works in general. And then you have to do a few tweaks to do it in the countryside.
What kind of a difference would it make to someone who has maybe been used to sleeping rough in rural areas and then is given this chance and this opportunity to have a place of their own and given all of this support?
It would make the world of difference. This is the kind of thing that is seismic. It completely changes someone's life. When you go from sleeping rough to having your own place, your whole life can change. You have stability. You can plan. You can think about the future. You don't have to just be thinking moment to moment. You aren't scared. You can start thinking about what do I want for my life? How am I going to participate in my community? And you can also start addressing other areas of your life. So, if, for example, you might have issues with your mental health or issues with drug and alcohol, you can start going to services that might help you with that. But you can imagine if you're sleeping rough, it's so hard even to get onto the books of these type of organizations. Lots of them will say, first question, where do you live? If you haven't got an answer to that, you can't often even start to get the help around these areas. So not only does it give you that stability, it also helps you to build and build and build and make improvements in your life. And weirdly, it also saves the government money because what you have is you have someone who's no longer getting attacked by strangers or having to attend accident emergency and using all of these crisis services because they're stable. They're not using all of this emergency stuff. It's actually cheaper for the government. So it's amazing for the individual. And it also saves the government money.
Police are investigating after a jet ski was stolen during a burglary at a home in Rochester. A trailer was also taken from the garage of the property on Valley View Road earlier this month. Officers are keen to speak to anyone with CCTV or dash cam footage.
Kent Online News.
Figures out today show an increase in unemployment in Kent. Around 41,300 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in the county in February. That's up by about 1,100 compared to the previous month. Two fire engines have been sent to tackle a garage blaze in Tunbridge. It broke out in Cardinal Close yesterday evening and is thought to have been caused by an electrical fault. No one was injured. A Kent MP is urging the government to call in plans for one of the UK's biggest solar panel farms due to be built in Kent. Tom Tugendhat has written to Angela Rayner asking her to consider the proposals for farmland between Ridley and New Ash Green. If approved, it would produce enough power for 17,000 homes, but the Tunbridge rep said it would threaten the biodiversity of the area and will see a loss of productive farmland. Now, it's been revealed Medway Council is sitting on more than £19 million given to the authority by developers over the last 12 years. The funding is known as Section 106 contributions. It is meant to be spent on local infrastructure. It comes at a time when the council is looking at ways to balance the books. I've been chatting to reporter Robert Boddy, who's been following this story for the Kent Online podcast.
When developer applies to the council for planning permission. If it's over a certain size, a developer has to make contributions to the local community to sort of mitigate the impact of these new houses. So this can go towards health, education, transport infrastructure, the roads, all these different sorts of things. And there'll be an estimation of how much the developer needs to contribute, which they will then give to the council to spend on whatever has been agreed.
Okay. Are there any rules about how it has to be spent and when it has to be spent by?
So the rules are that basically it doesn't have to be paid straight away. The developer only pays it after a certain an agreed trigger point, which can be sort of half the houses are built or half the houses are sold or whatever that may be. It has to be spent on what is agreed. So in planning documents, there's a huge long list of, you know, X amount of money for, you know, improvements to local schools or GP services or, you know, bus routes, these sorts of things. So it is very specific on what it can be spent on. And there is a time limit. It varies between application. It can be sort of between 5 and 10 years. If the council has collected this money and doesn't spend it within the agreed time limit, then the developer can ask for that money to come back.
Okay. So the information that you've got is that there's £19.5 million unspent from Section 106 at the moment. Has some of it been spent? Has there some Section 106 money been spent and this is just a leftover?
Yeah, so basically there are some areas where Section 106 money gets spent fairly regularly. So a lot of the time, roads, education is quite a good one that regularly gets spent. The one that we've really focused on is health, because we've looked at Section 106 agreements from the past 12 years, since 2013. And it appears to us that basically very little of that money has been spent. It's all, a lot of it has been collected. About £1.2 million has been collected from £4 million worth of agreements, has been collected by the council, but it's just sitting in council bank accounts, not doing anything, not being spent on what it has been agreed to.
Do council say why it's not being spent?
So they say that, well, the council says it takes a long time for these money to be collected, and for there can be changes in sort of the what has been agreed. So circumstances might change over the time between when the agreement was made and when the money's collected. And sometimes for bigger projects, that money can be collated into one big pot. However, you know, there's quite substantial sums of money, and we asked, you know, for example, there was one instance where £33,000 had been collected in 2017, and we kind of asked the council, is there really nothing that could have been spent, you know, £33,000 could have been spent on in that time? I spoke with Dave Harris, who's the chief of the planning department, and he actually said to me that it's all in the hands of the ICB, the Integrated Care Board. They need to request this money since they run all the health services in Medway. So they need to request that money. Why are they not requesting that money? Well, he says it's a frustration that he's had for a long time. They're trying to have regular meetings to make them aware that this money is being spent. But the ICB couldn't really give us a good reason why they weren't asking for this money. They basically just said the same thing of, it takes a long time for this money to be collected and sometimes the agreements change.
And I think when a lot of people heard that figure, 19.5 million, it's so substantial, and we know that obviously council are struggling, they're in a financial black hole, this money can't be used to bail them out.
No, so this money can only be spent on what's already been agreed. So if it's for pavements, it can only be spent on pavements. If it's been, you know, agreed for specific GP surgeries, it can only be spent on that. It also, within the health circumstances, it can't be spent on salaries. It can only be spent on improvements to the infrastructure of the health service. And it is a big problem. I mean, we looked nationally, there were some FOIs were done, and £8 billion across the whole country of Section 106 money is just sitting unspent.
Gabriel Morris from the local Democracy Reporting Service has been speaking to local resident Maggie Francis.
Well, I found out that £19 million hasn't been spent because I was sent a copy of the Kent Infrastructure Statement for the end of 2024. And it states quite clearly in there, there's £19 million unspent Section 106 money, which presumably is sitting somewhere in Medway Council coffers.
And what's the feeling on this? Because you've worked passionately on this for years. This money is community money. Could have been spent, lots of development, thousands of homes have gone up, millions potentially for Raynham. How do you feel? Has it been spent?
I'm disgusted. Absolutely disgusted. I've been asking for years to see what this money is being spent on. It's allocated in the planning applications against specific projects. Those specific projects don't appear to have been met. And I want to know why. Process has been over the years asking local councillors what it's about. I've consistently been told, oh, it's too complicated for you to understand, Maggie, which annoys me a little bit. I've sent lots of emails to various people within the council, various departments, with varying amounts of responses. No responses have ever had any content in them which has been particularly noteworthy. I've then started to do Freedom of Information requests over the years at various levels, asked several questions, been given responses, replies, which maybe answer the most basic part of the question, but that's about it.
And this is not something that many people would do. Why is it that you've done this? Why have you felt like you've had to do it?
Because of the way I've been treated, I think, when I have asked the most simple questions in the first place. And to have houses built which don't meet council guidelines, and they admit that they don't meet council guidelines, but just to be told, oh, it's all right, you'll get some benefits from it. And you don't get the benefits, you ask more questions and it goes round and round in circles. And you just get annoyed eventually.
The council says collecting and allocating developer contributions is a complicated process, but they have a team working to ensure all funds are spent correctly.
Kent Online News.
Plans have been put in to convert a large retail unit in Deal into two smaller shops to keep up with changes to the high street. It's thought dividing the former Dogs Trust site would offer more marketing opportunities and would be more likely to attract renters. The application also includes plans for a first floor extension to create new flats. Construction work has started on two projects in Swale that will deliver more than 700 new homes. The new communities will be built on former farmland in Barton Hill Drive in Minster and Crown Key Lane in Sittingbourne. Some of the houses will be affordable. The schemes will also include green spaces and play areas. A former GP surgery in Ashford that's been empty since 2018 could be turned into a five-bedroom council house. Stanhope Surgery treated patients for more than 30 years before inspectors found it fell significantly short of building standards. Plans have now been put forward to spend £400,000 on turning it into a home for a large family on the council's housing waiting list. Now, there have been tributes for a self-taught Kent engineer who found TV fame with Cilla Black following his death at the age of 86. Bill Hooker had a talent for fixing and restoring old vehicles, including the wartime truck, which saw him featured on Cilla's show Surprise Surprise in the 1980s. The sandwich man has been remembered as a sensitive soul who was well known for his displays at local rallies and county shows.
Kent Online News.
A recent poll ahead of next month's local elections has Reform UK slightly ahead, but experts say that might not be the result on the day. We'll head to the ballot boxes on May the 1st. At the moment, Reform and the Conservatives seem to be almost neck and neck in the race to run Kent County Council. Martin Baxter is from Electoral Calculus. He's been speaking on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast.
Turnout, as you said, is low in local elections, and so the result can depend very much on who gets their supporters to vote and who supporters tend to stay at home more. So that's really important. The poll very much asked that. It was the first question we asked people, is how likely they thought they were to vote at the upcoming local elections. We found, similar numbers to the ones you were mentioning, that the average for Kent, the average turnout is 36% we're seeing. So we do ask, we'd make an estimate for each division. So people saying Sevenoaks are a little more likely to vote than people in Canterbury for some reason. But we make estimates about turnout and we're trying our best on that, but it certainly is a factor that can sway things on the day. The turnout is a bit more or less than expected, or if there's supporters of one party are more likely to turn out than another, that can make a difference. And smaller candidates as well can baffle the predictions as well. So there are a lot of factors in local elections. It's a slightly mug's game to predict them, but here I am as Mr. Muggins having the go.
Kent Online News.
A search is underway for a lottery winner in Sevenoaks. The Set for Life prize was won by someone who bought a ticket in the area last October. They've only got a week left to claim the money. Patrick Lisois is from National Lottery Operator Alwyn. He says it could be laying around someone's house.
People have kept tickets in dictionaries under L for the lottery. People have kept them under the front doormat as a place where it won't move from. A million and one places, I'm sure. Anything you can probably think of has possibly happened in terms of where people have kept their tickets safe. It's about searching anywhere and everywhere where you think a ticket could possibly be. Start with a wallet or your purse. and go from there, I'd say.
A Kent Animal Park's been given £45,000 to help reintroduce wildcats across the UK. Wildwood Trust near Canterbury has a breeding program to boost the population. It's hoped they could be introduced to habitats from 2027. And David Walliams is going to be signing copies of his new book at Bluewater. The Waterstones store at the shopping centre have confirmed the author and former BGT judge will be visiting next month. World's Worst Superheroes is the eighth in the series.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking a brief look at football now, and Gillingham fans are getting the chance to see their players training before the end of the season. The club's hosting an open training session at Priestfield for season ticket holders. The Gills have got just four games left of the season, starting on Good Friday away at Cheltenham Town. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.